school, Cache Creek Church. So we made the news, guys.
I turned it off before I got to that part. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, I think we were trying to figure out where the kids should go in the house, and I was opening both doors looking outside, so I'm kind of the one that runs out into it, and everybody else is trying to hide, but yeah, we made the news. Congratulations. We all have those stories in our life, right? We see someone we know on TV. Maybe they're doing an interview, or maybe they were just in the background during a ball game or some other event, but whatever it was, that person is now local TV famous, right? Saw you guys on TV the other day. Did you see so-and-so on the news the other day? This is why celebrities, whether they're movie stars or music artists, have such massive followings. There's just something about being known that drives the culture around us. Today we'll continue our study through Mark by looking at Jesus calling his first disciples in Mark 1, 16 through 20. We will see that things weren't much different back then either. People in the first century also gravitated toward those who were popular, toward those who stood out in a crowd. Today we'll look at how Jesus began his ministry and how his popularity was growing. We will specifically look at the calling of his disciples in Mark 1, 16 through 20. Please stand as we read God's word together. 16 through 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning again, and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this book we call the Bible and all that it has for us in its pages. And we just ask that you be with us now and give us the heart and the mind to retain these words of yours and use them in our lives as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May be seated. So last week we covered the baptism and the temptation of Jesus. We also looked at the fact that the ministry of Jesus started shortly after these events. He was baptized by John, he was tested in the wilderness, and then he set out to start his ministry by proclaiming the gospel. This is where we pick it up today. Jesus has been traveling and teaching, and it brings him to the Sea of Galilee. This is important to point out because it's where most of his ministry takes place. Besides Jerusalem and places along the road to and from Jerusalem, the area of Galilee is where Jesus spends most of his time. Now, I have two maps on the screen. Yeah, you guys may not be able to see those very clearly, but they kind of show these areas. The one on the right includes all the areas traveled by Jesus. So we see the Sea of Galilee to the top. We see the Dead Sea on bottom, and around the Dead Sea, we've got Jerusalem, we've got Qumran, Bethany, Bethlehem. Sea of Galilee's got Capernaum, Cana, Nazareth, Gennesaret, and places like this. And the one on the left is a blown-up area of the Sea of Galilee, and you can see closer those towns around the sea, and those are most of the towns that you hear in the stories about Jesus' ministry. I need a little laser pointer here. Play with that. So it is this area and these places where we hear stories about in the Bible. This is where Jesus spends most of his ministry. And where we are in the scriptures today. With that in mind, we can look at the first disciples. As we read, verse 16 says, "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were mending their nets in the boat. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." So this is the calling of the first disciples. The good thing about walking through a gospel together is the fact that many of these stories are represented in some form or fashion in the other gospels. This helps us both see the different perspectives of our writers, and it helps us get a fuller picture of what is actually happening. As we've talked about before, Mark is writing our gospel in a particular way to reach a particular group of people. Mark is also the shortest of the gospels, and his writing is direct and to the point. This means that he only includes the details that he needed to get his point across. So if we were only to read Mark's gospel account, we would get a concise account of Jesus being the Son of God who became a servant for us all and his ministry on this earth. What would we not know is the details surrounding the events covered in his ministry. We see this kind of storytelling in our daily lives every day. Some people just tell stories better than others, right? We've probably got some good storytellers in this room today. Now, they may be tall tales, but they're good stories anyway, right? Not only can some people relay information better, but we all tell things in our own way and in our own perspective. For example, I got up this morning and got ready to come here and to prepare for our worship service. If my wife were to narrate this, it may go something like this. It was a cool, crisp morning in our bedroom as he threw back the covers and made his way to the bathroom to start his day. He then proceeded to head through the house to take the dog outside. He returned to inside the house and let Piper take over the duties of waking up the children. As I heard the shower come on, I thought to myself, please don't use all of the hot water. Before long, he was clean and dressed and eating breakfast in the other room. I could hear the sound of Piper whining, so he must be trying to get some food from him. He brushed his teeth and gave hugs and kisses to all and was out the door. Not too bad, right? Good job. Nice story. If I were to tell the same story, it might say, I got up, I got showered, I got dressed, and I left. The end. You see how stories can be told differently about the same events. So it helps us to get to know what's going on better if we see it from all perspectives that we are given. So today we will not only look at the calling of the first disciples, but we will look at it across all the Gospels. This is important so we can see how to navigate our way through this full picture we have in the Bible. With that in mind, look at our text today. We are told that we are at the Sea of Galilee, and Simon and Andrew were fishing when Jesus called them to follow him. Now, who are these men? We know they are fishermen, and we know the text tells us they stopped what they were doing to follow Jesus. But who are these guys to us? Well, they are among the 12 disciples that follow Christ throughout his ministry. Simon is, in fact, Simon Peter, and is the Peter we see throughout our New Testament. And Andrew was his brother. In fact, the two guys mentioned also here in this text are disciples of Jesus and are also brothers. Our standout in the sons of Zebedee mentioned here is in fact John, since he's the very same John who we encounter throughout the ministry of Christ. And the very same John who wrote the Gospel of John. And 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and Revelation. We know these guys well in our New Testament stories. And today we look at how they came to know Jesus. This event is told the exact same way in the book of Matthew, which is why most people believe Matthew used Mark when he wrote his book. Most of Mark's words can be found word for word in Matthew with extra details. But in Luke, we get a little different perspective. Luke 5, 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. This town was on our map. It's on Galilee. So this is the Sea of Galilee. They were just called it the Lake of Gennesaret here. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that had been taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And they had brought their boats to land, and they left everything and followed him. Now we get a bit more information about what was going on. We learn from Mark that Jesus had begun teaching people in Galilee. And here in Luke, we see that Jesus was actually teaching when he called these fishermen. This is important because it lets us know that these fishermen that were about to leave their lives actually knew something about Jesus. They had heard him teach. What we also learn here is Jesus actually entered the boat of Simon Peter and performed a miracle before their eyes. These professional fishermen had been at it all night with no success. Until Jesus enters the boat. This confirms that they both knew what Jesus was teaching and had seen his authority over creation. They had seen the power of God. Now that we see the full picture from this interaction on this day, let's turn to the book of John and get some insights from one of the disciples that was actually there. John 1:35. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and this is John the Baptist when he says John was standing with two disciples. So John writes about John the Baptist. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Now, it is okay to be a little confused here. There is a reason that this feels like a completely different event being described in John. The reason is that it actually is a different event on a different day. We actually find out here that Jesus had met these men before. We know that this takes place before the interaction while fishing because of who is mentioned in verse 35. It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist actually turns to two of his disciples and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We know this event happened first because in Mark we're told shortly after John the Baptist was arrested was when Jesus started his ministry. This is when Jesus called fishermen to become fishers of men. So with John the Baptist present in this story, in the book of John, we know that this story happened first. So why is this important? This is important because it shows us that Jesus had already formed a relationship with these men before they left their lives. And it's important because it reveals to us that there were phases to the calling of the disciples. We are shown in John that the first phase of this calling was a calling to follow him as a teacher. This would have been a normal thing to see someone following a teacher or rabbi. This calling left these men still in their lives, but learning from Jesus. The second phase of this calling was when Christ showed up with the crowds, teaching that day by the Sea of Galilee. The crowds were big enough that Jesus climbed into a boat to continue to teach from offshore. This is when the second phase of the calling happened. These men knew who Jesus was and what he was teaching, and now they were about to be shown the power and authority that he possessed. This was the calling to leave their very lives. This was the calling to drop everything for the Savior of the world. We will get to the third phase of the calling in a few weeks in Mark 3. When Jesus calls 12 out to join him on a mountain and makes them apostles. This is why studying while reading through the Bible is so important. If we study when we read, then we find out that the Gospels aren't just separate stories of events, but actually weave together a more complete picture of just what was going on in the first century when the Son of God entered history for the salvation of us all. Amen. So Jesus called the disciples. And Jesus also called us. Much like the disciples, Jesus has called us. Amen. Let's first take just a moment to try to put ourselves in the shoes of these fishermen that we have looked at this morning. Try to get ourselves in this picture. We are professional fishermen, but we're also searching for something else. We know we are searching because we are already following a teacher. This teacher we're following is John the Baptist in this first century. We trust John the Baptist and are likely with him when he baptizes Jesus. We are likely at the Jordan River when the Son of God starts his ministry as disciples of John the Baptist. Our teacher, who had devoted his life to pointing people to God, pointed us one day to Jesus and essentially said, "Meet your new teacher the Messiah. What would this feel like? What would be going through your mind when generations of waiting in our people's history is said to be over, and it's because the man standing before you? What would be going through your mind as a first century fisherman? Now fast forward a few days after meeting this man called Jesus and seeing the crowds gather around him as he teaches as no one has ever taught before. He teaches with an authority that we can't quite put our finger on. We are a few days into his teachings and we see him make his way our direction. So while surrounded by a following, and we are finishing our unsuccessful night of fishing. The four of us have spent every day of our lives on the lake earning our wages and our meals and have come up empty before. But today is different. This teacher of ours climbs into our boats to continue teaching from shore and then looks us in the eyes and sees our empty net. He looks straight through us and tells us that we should make one more effort before we call it a day. We kind of laugh it off as we cast our nets out one more time. Then everything changes. Our hearts sink into our chest as we struggle to bring in the possibly the biggest catch of our lives. We look at each other in disbelief as he seems to peer into our very souls and says the words that will change our lives and the lives of everyone we will ever meet from this point forward. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In this moment, every one of us knows our lives will never be the same again. We know that nothing will ever be the same again. We know that we are leaving everything for this man. And we know that from this point forward, no matter how confusing things get or how hard things seem in our lives, we know that we walk with the very Son of God. This is where the disciples were when they gave up seemingly everything to follow this man called Jesus. Their lives were turned upside down, and we are shown the details of this unfolding across the pages of our gospel accounts. This is also where every one of us were in our lives when the gospel entered our hearts. We were lost and we were searching and we were found by Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now I know today's sermon has been a bit different. And I know that there was no 3-point outline and no illustrations involving my children. But I thought it was important for us as a church family to see how the gospels work together. They are not written to be read through separately as if we have no knowledge of the others. They are meant to give us a full picture from four unique perspectives of the ministry of our Lord and Savior. We will not focus so heavily on all four Gospels going forward in our study of Mark. But we will study Mark with the other three pictures in our minds. So as we close our look at the calling of Christ's first disciples, I have only one question for us to ponder. Where were you when Jesus called your name? You see, just like the disciples were called out of their lives in stages, first with the knowledge of their Savior and then their commitment to Him, we too are called in stages. You may have been in church your whole life getting to know the teachings of Jesus before that day the Spirit called out your name and you were forever His. You may have been at one of the lowest points in your life and seemingly trapped in an endless spiral of sin when someone brought the gospel message to you. Someone stepped into your life with the teachings of the Son of God and your heart was pierced forever. Or maybe you've been somewhere in between these two scenarios, living a seemingly good life. You've never saw yourself as a sinner or a saint, but just as a good person. Then the gospel message made its way to you, and you realized that no matter how good or how bad someone's life has been, we all need Jesus. You were shown that Jesus is the only way, and you put your faith in Him. Whatever the circumstances were, we all received the gospel message that Jesus gave it all, so that we could have an eternity in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
All of us in here today who believe in the Son's death for our sins and His resurrection for our eternity have been called by Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We profess in the Son of God, and He has called us His brothers and His sisters. Yet there may be some of you here today who have yet to make this profession, who have yet to yield to this calling in your life, even though you've heard the gospel and can feel the need to submit to Christ in your very soul, even as I speak today. If this is you, please do not hesitate to place your faith in Christ. In this very moment, this may very well be the moment in your life, like the disciples in our story today, when Jesus has come down into your life and pierced your very soul and simply said, "Follow me." Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel, because it was the very power of God to save all who believe. If Jesus has called on you today, please come and see me before you leave. Please submit to Jesus. For any other needs at all, please bring them before your Heavenly Father as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day and Your holy word and its design to pierce our very soul. And we thank You that the stories and the texts that we read throughout Scripture are interwoven together to give us the complete picture of who You are. And Father, we just ask that You be with us now as we end our service and go about our day. Be with us and let us see where You are in our lives. Let us see if we indeed have submitted to our Savior. And help us share the gospel to all. Because as Paul says, we know the gospel is the power of God to save. Be with us now. In Jesus' name I pray.